We are back on our extended conversation, Facebook Living here on Perspectives with the five contenders for Leon County School Board. This is seat number three. And Lynn Jones, we were talking here before the break about those two schools. And what do you do on that? What kind of a triage do you construct to keep them from slipping into charterhood, which is mandated by state law? So what do you think?
The first thing I must say is that we must, the legislatures must give the teaching power back to the teachers. They have provided so many mandates for teachers, and we do not have the opportunity to give the input and to use the curriculums that we know will work for the students. We know that students are different, and we must use curriculums that are diverse, and we must give the teaching back to the teachers. In addition to that, we must change the way we monitor our schools. How did our schools get into this position? If we're only monitoring schools, as you say, charter schools, one time a month, and they're bringing that information back to you one time a month, what's happening the rest of that month? So we must change how we monitor schools. In addition to that, I'm an advocate for all schools. There are some things that are happening in our community that I learned about today that I didn't know. I went to the Leon County Schools STEM workshop. I'm a teacher, so I must continue my professional development. They are doing maker spaces at some of the schools, in the media center, and some of the persons there, they don't even know what's going on. So we have to be in tune with what's going on at all of the schools. We don't need to keep secrets. We need to know what's going on. So again, I do advocate 8 years and out, because we need to make sure that we are building our schools. And if our schools aren't doing what they should do, then we need to get some new blood in there. We need to make a change. When we talk about FSA, we have to be very careful, because that is not a major tool that monitors our kids. That's one day of their school year. That's 2 days of their school year. That doesn't tell you about that child. So the legislature has mandated that. So we have to be very careful when we say, okay, that's a D school. Our children aren't Ds. Our children aren't Fs. So we have to be careful when we say, oh, because they're a D school or F school, then there's some problems there. Remember, FSA is not all of everything that's taught at schools.
All righty. And Mr. Darrell Jones, your thoughts.
My grandfather used to always say, it is not practice that makes perfect.
Good morning and welcome to Perspectives once again on WFSU, our political perspectives variety, as we plumb the candidates and the issues and all of that that's going to be facing us as voters, not only coming up in the August 28th primary election here in Leon County, but we're also looking ahead to the November 6th general election ballot. More on that in a moment. Before we begin, a reminder, you're always invited to be part of Perspectives through phone and email. 850-414-1234 is the local number. If you're old-fashioned and you've got a landline and you have to call a 800 number to avoid the tolls if you're outside the calling area, it's 800-926-8809. Our email, perspectives@wfsu.org, or send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. No S on the end of that. This Perspectives episode will be telecast tonight at 7 Eastern on 4FSU. That is Comcast Channel 4 in Leon, Gadsden, Wakulla, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks counties. We're also live streaming, and that is via Facebook. And we invite you also to participate in we'll hang around for a few minutes after 12, if that's okay, with the assembled multitudes, and give them an additional chance to meet you if you would like to join us then on Facebook Live right after we go off the air at 12 Eastern. And a reminder that our wonderful Bandwagon program will be airing live on WFSU-TV and for FSU on Tuesday, July 31st, starting at 7 o'clock. With that said, let's jump into Leon County School Board District 3. We drew the names of our candidates here out of a hat, a literal hat this morning. I bought a new hat. I'll show you guys later. But I know, Mr. Williams, you already have a hat.
Yes, sir.
Well, we'll meet you first, sir. Charles Antonio Williams, and welcome to Perspective, sir. It's good to have you.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Right next over to you is Dr. Donna Hayes Austin. Dr. Donna, good to see you, too.
Good morning. It's a pleasure being here.
And also meeting us here is a young lady who will be taking part in the general election because she is a write-in candidate, and that is Ms. Jones. Thank you so much for coming into Perspectives.
Good morning. Thank you so much for inviting the candidates to Political Perspectives today.
And thank you, Lynn. That is Lynn Jones, by the way, and no relation to another candidate by the name of Daryl Jones.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Yeah, we contacted Daryl Jones. I talked to him yesterday. He said he was doing his best to try to make this today, so he may be joining us at some point in the proceedings. We also have an incumbent in this District 3 race. That is the longtime incumbent, Maggie Lewis Butler. And we had talked to her about a week ago, and she said she was going to try to make it too. So sometimes things come up.
Yes,
I know that there's
definitely
a very big deal going on today with the Tiger Bay Club down at the Civic Center. So sometimes folks get conflicts and all of that. Well, let's start first with an introduction from each one of our present contenders for that. And if we could start with you, Mr. Williams, a little bit of background and why you jumped into the school board contest.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I'm a fifth-generation Leon County resident. I currently live in Woodville. I attended Woodville Elementary, Nelms Middle, and Rickers High School. I'm an Air Force veteran. I served in the Gulf War. I've protected and served the citizens of the United States, and I'd like to continue to serve the community the same way. So I'm currently president of a nonprofit baseball league, and I have a nonprofit of my own. So, you know, I'm all about trying to advocate for the kids, being a mentor for the kids. And the reason why I actually decided to run for school board is because of the concerns that have come up in the past years and my inability to be able to make an impact from just an advocate position. I feel like, you know, stepping up in this position would give me an opportunity to actually go to work for the school district instead of being an advocate for the district.
Very good, sir. Nice introduction. Dr. Donna Hayes Austin up next. A little bit about you, ma'am, and why you jumped into this race, too.
Yes, I jumped in the race because of the fact that as Mr. Williams stated, there are a lot of concerns in our District 3 schools. And because of that, and me being an advocate for children and having 23 years of educational experience in pre-K through 12th grade, I thought that it would be very important that now at this time I can add to what the district is already doing, but just kind of broaden that vision and broaden the way that they do things. I am a lifetime resident of Leon County Schools. I did leave for a short period of time after I lost my husband, but I do have what I call humble beginnings in my educational profession, and that is through being a cafeteria worker for the Leon County Schools. And then when I went to get my master's degree, I did my internship as a counselor at FAMU, Florida A&M University, DRS. So because it runs through my blood and I am an educator from the Holton Street area, I'm South Side. I am the South Side. And I say that I am the South Side because I attended NIMS as well as attended Rickers. And as I just stated, I am a resident of Holton Street Projects. We moved there in 1969 and we stayed there for about almost 30 years. So I am very happy to have an opportunity to run for Leon County School Board.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Okay, Lynn Jones, a little bit about you and, again, your decision to enter this race.
Yes, I am a mother of two, grandmother of seven, and I have 33 years of professional educator. I received my education credentials from FAMU, Nova University, with a specialist in reading. I have an autism endorsement from FSU. I'm also endorsed in reading and ESOL. I'm a certified general educator, and I also have ESE certification. My diverse professional education includes teaching at Astoria Park, Woodville, Bond, and Havana Elementary Schools. I also taught at R. Frank Nims and Bellevue Middle School, Joanne Bridges Academy, a DJJ facility, grade 6 through 12, Governor's Charter Academy. I worked at Fiddler's Mickey-Sickey, Florida DOE, and I taught classes at Florida A&M University. Last year, I taught third grade at Bond Elementary School during the 2017-2018 school year. I'm an entrepreneur and owner of two local businesses, and I'm an Army veteran. I am a catalyst for positive change. We know that education is the key, and WFSU provides education from the inception to the seniors. The Leon County Schools' vision is to foster an engaging, safe, and respectful learning environment that embraces change and produces successful learners who value diversity and are conscientious contributors to our society. I'm a candidate because we must embody the five elements that elevate our students to higher heights: collaboration, working together as community, building diversity in our schools, focusing on safety of our school communities, and making sure we implement a reading curriculum that ensures success from early childhood to graduation, and ensuring that all students participate in character-building activities that include all students, including LGBTQ plus students, participating as an inclusive group, not just as an individual club or activity. I am Lynn Jones, a catalyst for positive change.
Thank you, Ms. Lynn Jones. Now, I believe we can add to the conversational arrangement here on our political perspectives, looking through the glass and listening to the headphones. We understand that we have some additional arrivals who are going to be joining us here on our program. So I'll tell you what we can do. Why don't we go ahead and get those folks seated while I tell folks who are listening and perhaps also watching what you can expect as far as some additional opportunities to interface with candidates are concerned. As I mentioned at the outset of the program, we're doing a series of 8 programs in total that are very much focused on the 3 primary groups of races that voters in the city of Tallahassee and Leon County will be dealing with here during the 28th of August, which is the primary election, and then many of these candidates also going on into the November 6th general election. We started off with the Leon County Commission. We have 2 of those contests that are up and going to be going for grabs in a little bit. And we also have 3 Leon County School District board meetings, candidate gatherings that we are focused on right now, the 3rd of which will be taking place this Monday, and that'll be followed next week for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday with the City of Tallahassee Commission, which includes seat 4, which is the mayor's seat. Pretty contentious stuff, and we'll be bringing all of those candidates to you as part of our ongoing political perspectives programs. Just joining us now at the table, we have 2 additional candidates for District 3 of the Leon County School Board, the longtime incumbent, Maggie Lewis Butler. Ma'am, it is so good to see you. And a gentleman who I believe has been at these microphones before in regards to economic development and such through the Office of Economic Vitality, and that is Mr. Darrell Jones. And let's start with the incumbent, Maggie Lewis Butler. Thank you so much for joining us, ma'am. And for the benefit of those folks maybe who, yeah, that name kind of rings a bell, a little bit of your background. You may need to scrooge up, there you go, into that microphone a little bit more. And your background, ma'am, on the school district, and again, why you opted to go for another term on this race, if you would, please.
Okay. My background as the vice chair of Leon County School Board, been the vice chair for 5 or 6 times, been the chair for 4 or 5 times. And I feel that I started on the board that I upgraded District 3. I upgraded this three by going into the schools, making very sure that all the facility was conducive for learning. Once I got the facility conducive for learning, safety was another priority of mine, making sure every child was safe in the schools. Then I dealt with the component of the parental involvement. Parental involvement. I created a room, inviting relationship between the administrators, teachers, and staff in the school for all parents to be welcome into the school. And also was available, accessible contact person to make sure that always available for my constituents, always there for the children, the students, and the parents.
If you could hold on for just a second, we'll give you an opportunity to continue the introductory remarks here, Ms. Butler, as we're bearing down on a mandatory timeout. We don't pick them. The automation does that for us. But we'll be right back with more on Perspectives. The Leon County School Board, this is District 3. We'll hear more from Maggie Lewis Butler, the incumbent, and also another one of the challengers, Daryl Jones. That's coming up right here on Perspectives. Don't go away. We are back, and we have a grand and glorious convocation here on Perspectives. Leon County School Board, this is District 3. We have all five of the contenders on deck, and we had to interrupt the incumbent in the middle of her introductory remarks, Maggie Lewis Butler. You've been on the board for how long now?
21 years.
For 20 years. Oh, my
21.
God. 21. Okay. Well, go ahead, ma'am. I'll turn the microphones back over to you here for your introduction.
Okay. And making very sure as a leader for District 3 and making sure that students are first, I always kept focused and stayed focused and always available and always accessible for the constituents in my district. My vision for moving forward, for low-scoring schools, I have three of those. This year, we will have more councils. As you know, the legislators approved the mental councils for our schools, and we plan to utilize those councils. The plan is to get those councils involved, more involved with the schools, so they'll be involved with the schools, the families, and the community. The teachers need a second and third eye. These counselors will be a second and third eye for these teachers so they can teach. Extra help in the schools needed. Why? And so in order to produce better schools, then we can use our counselors in a more effective way. The parents in my constituency, they work two and three jobs. These are parents that leave their children with babysitters. The families within the family are taking care of the babysitting part. So, you know, we need help there. And the counselors will be able to let the school know what is happening with these families, why little Johnny attendance is low, why he's ill, why he's not there. So we're going to have that component in place. We allow the school to communicate about resources. Schools need more updated resources. We want to make very sure more resources are channeled towards Title I schools. The teachers need resources, and the students need resources in order to be worked. And we need updated resources. And we're making that happen through partnerships and the community. We have 1,155 mentors as I speak. And these mentors have been trained and fingerprinted. So our schools are safe. We have cameras in all our schools. We have cameras on all our buses. We have aides on the buses so the bus drivers can drive.
Anything else, ma'am?
Yes. More importantly, to increase our graduation rate and to force the program which will allow students who choose to transition from high school to college. And then we have students that's not going to go to college, so they can go to tech school. So we have Lively. We have upgraded Lively. We have the adult education now housed at Lively. And we have the vision. We have virtual school housed at Lively. So virtual school is another safety net that will pick up the graduation rate and help to make very sure if they don't go to college, they get a trade, get a skill. And we, as you know, at Garvey High School, we have the welding program. At Rickles, we have the nursing program. And the aviation program is up and rising at Lincoln. So we're looking at ways to save our students to make sure they graduate.
All righty, ma'am. Thank you very much, Maggie Lewis Butler, the incumbent. Mr. Daryl Jones, he will be giving us a little bit of background on him and also why he's running for the school board.
Okay. First of all, Tom, thank you for having us. I think this is a substantive conversation to have all of these varied perspectives and different experiences to inform what is a school district that is in need, in desperate need of a new voice. I have spent most of my adult life and as my vocation as an economic development professional, whether it was through entrepreneurship training, affordable housing, and now most specifically with the Office of Economic Vitality, all of those experiences have helped to inform me about how important the quality schools are. Many of us have been made aware of the Harvard study and its talk about economic segregation and how Leon County is the most economically segregated community in the entire country. And in that study, they lay blame for that economic segregation on the quality of schools that are made available to working class poor people. So when we talk about this and describe it as a crisis and describe it as a state of emergency, the fact that Harvard University, from all the communities found around this country, would deem our community as the most economically segregated because of its schools, that lets you know that we require brand new voices and brand new leadership. One of the things that we all will agree upon, because you will hear the same comments made by all of us, early learning and the importance of those important building blocks for our children will stave the achievement gap. When you start out, most simply, behind the eight ball, unless there is some type of jarring action, you'll remain behind the eight ball. So if a kid comes to us, if a child, because behind these school grades and this discussion about the quality of schools, behind each of those school grades are children and their families. If a child has the most important foundation building blocks in early learning before they get to kindergarten, that student is exponentially more prepared to meet the rigors, expectations, and the opportunities that are provided through a public school education. Think about this when we talk about the issue of economic segregation. A child goes from kindergarten all the way through high school. If that child starts out ill-prepared, if there is not the substantive demonstration of a commitment to ensure that his public school education in District 3 prepares him either to go to college or to take on a job, you then have issues that that resonate with us like crime, unemployment. This is not just our problem. This is a problem that affects our entire community, and we're ultimately all impacted. So that's why we need voices to call all hands on deck, because we're ultimately all affected. That's why we're all here. That's why we want to get involved, because we realize that we can do better. The statistics tell us that based upon test scores for children in the third grade, determine the prisons they will build in the future. Imagine with F's and D schools, those stats translate ultimately to jailhouses, prison beds, not dormitory rooms, but prison beds. We've got to change the status quo in District 3 and ensure great opportunity
for
quality public education.
Before that even happens, though, there are a couple of schools that we'll talk about here in just a moment that need immediate attention in District 3, and we'll get to that.
Yes.
There is some breaking news, however, I wanted to run by everybody, and this just came in within the past hour and a half. The League of Women Voters of Florida has now filed suit seeking to block Amendment 8 on the ballot. Now, as background, Amendment 8, which was one of the multitude passed by the Constitution Revision Commission, which has been working for more than a year on putting some things onto the ballot, because of their arrangement, they're able to stack issues. And one of the issues in Amendment 8, which will be on the ballot in November, unless this suit is successful, says that there will be mandatory teaching of civics in public schools in Florida. And most educators seem to agree that that's probably a good idea. but also on the ballot is a term limit on school board members statewide. It would be 8 and out. And I just wanted to go around the table again and just very briefly and get your idea on that. Mr. Charles Antonio Williams, you think? Civics, I bet you think that's probably a good idea, I would imagine.
Definitely, I believe civics is a great idea. Anything that educate our students as far as what's going on in government and what's how to actually maneuver and, you know, navigate through the social system would be a great thing for our community, because at this point in time, like Darrell Jones mentioned, you know, economic development, it starts with the community. The community starts with the students. So we definitely need to inform our community, start with our students, about the lessons that can be learned from civics. In regards to the term limit, I think that's an excellent idea. Me serving under 3 different superintendents and the same district representative, that has gave me a very good idea on how to function within a system once administration changes. I've seen the administration go from being very transparent to somewhat transparent to back to transparent. So 8 years, that would definitely be a good number to keep it at. If an individual has done a good job, have informed the community of things that's going on, made sure that they mentor plenty of other individuals to be able to step in and be an asset to the community. And if the community cries for them to run again, they could run in 4 years. So I'm definitely with that.
Okay, yes on 8. Dr. Donna Hayes Austin, what you think?
Definitely, I would like to see civics in the classroom. However, I really do want all representation to be at the table when they make the decision about what that curriculum is going to look like. Because we know from past experience and how curriculum can come in and it can leave a group of people out. So, yes, the government, it's about rights and duties and all of that. But we want to make sure that there's representation, proper representation at the table when that curriculum is chosen. And as far as school board members coming out in doing 8-year terms, I have mixed emotions on that because of the fact that you may have someone that's in that political seat that is doing a fabulous job and is capable of continuing with that position. If you take them out, and Mr. Williams did mention that have a mentor, I just don't think that will work, the mentor, possibly. But to take them out of the seat, and I don't know if that's going to work out as well. But on the flip side of that, if you have someone that's sitting in the seat for many years and have not been as productive as needed, then that can be very damaging as well. So I do right now, I have mixed emotions on that.
Okay. All right. Lynn Jones, what do you think?
Yes, I really think civics is very important. It's currently taught in 7th grade, and the importance of that is that it builds cooperation and it teaches our kids how to vote. Without civics, we might not have the numbers of people that need to come out to vote and understand the voting process. Like Donna said, I'm very concerned about the curriculum that they're using to teach civics in our school, but I think that it's very important that we continue to teach civics in our school. Regarding the 8-year school board, I believe that we need change. We need positive change. We need improvement. So if we need improvement, then we need to make changes. And I believe that's a good way to do it, 8 years and out.
Okay, Maggie Lewis Butler, of course, that would impact you. You've been there 21 years.
Yes, yes. I've been with the schools 21 years. I would say no to term limits because, as Donna stated, if you are doing a good job and you're just learning the process and the procedure, you need some time. And I think the voters should make a decision, not the legislators.
Okay, but what about civics? You like that?
Okay, civics, yes. Because it's a get-along process. It's like the social skills, and they teach your students more about how to be cooperative in building a government. And in order to build a government, you have to have those social skills. And we need more of that diversity.
That's terrific. Thank you very much. Mr. Jones, your thoughts on that?
I agree with civics, but I think that the curriculum, as Dr. Hayes Austin has described, is important. I think that also the time that civics is taught is also important. I think that and beyond what we knew as our cookie-cutter civics classes when we grew up, learning the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, I think it needs to have greater cultural significance, that children are made aware of that ours is a blood-bought ballot. And that it's not just civics, but it's civic responsibility. That a part of civics that we talk to, we train our young people about how they resist and desist and protest with both the vote, with protesting, how we are genuinely engaged in our government, and how we, as a voice of just one and as a voice of many, can make substantive change, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's what needs to be a part of that curriculum, right? When I look at those Parkland kids following what was a tragedy, the way those young people mobilized themselves, mm-hmm. and had it not been for the time that it occurred here, would then descend upon our state capitol to demand that learning the Bill of Rights by rote, like we used to learn, that's not what this generation needs. They need a compelling curriculum that inspires them to know the value of their voice and their vote. Mm-hmm. Now, as it relates to term limits, I don't agree with term limits because I think it takes away the will of the voter. For example, we can look in our own community. If we limited ourselves to 8 years, some of the substantive change that we have seen in our community would not have occurred because oftentimes it's over the course of terms that you build the type of consensus, the learning curve increases, your ability to marshal resources and public discussion and lead public discourse. If after 8 years you are snatched away from local service, then I think you do the community at a disadvantage because there's going to have to be that constant repeat during the and not over the course of a generation, but intermittent of generations. Now, when a person is in public office, I trust the will of the voters because even in our current context, right, Miss Maggie Lewis Butler, in her service these last 21 years, has been enormously impactful. In fact, Miss Lewis Butler has gone unopposed because the people felt compelled. They trusted her. They saw the demonstration of her work. If it had been limited to 8 years, we might not have had the Bond Elementary School. If it had been limited to 8 years, right, we might not have seen some of the progress that was made. But now the tide has turned. And so if we as long as the will of the voters remains sacrosanct, the community will rise up and make its own decisions when it's time to make change. And they do that through the ballot. I think that takes away that power.
A political scientist of my acquaintance here in town called term limits on any scale, be they statewide, national, or local, the Stop Me Before I Vote Again law. So I don't know. We'll see about that. Yes. We would love to hear from you, and I see a Facebook question is popping up here, and we invite all of our viewers and our listeners here on this Political Perspectives as we focus on the Leon County School Board District 3 contest with all five of the candidates here with us to give us a call, give us a shout, send us a Facebook message, and we will leverage that into our conversation. 850-414-1234 is the number if you would like to call, or you can even send us an email. We have a special address for that, perspectives@wfsu.org. We'll be right back and continue our conversation with the candidates in just a moment. We are back on Political Perspectives, the Leon County School Board District 3 race, with everyone on deck here. A follow-up Facebook question. Can the candidates weigh in on the independent charter authorizer portion of Amendment 8, which is another connector here? This is one reason why the league says the ballot language is misleading and is the actual point of the lawsuit. Now, again, charter schools. Oh, we had a wonderful discussion here with the District 1 candidates yesterday on perspectives about that one. And this would essentially take the charter authorization power out of the hands of the local school board and would allow the Florida legislature to get involved. So I think, Ms. Lewis Butler, you folks had a two charter schools who came before the school board recently, and you folks made decisions on that.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. Now, what happens if that decision-making process or power is relegated to the Florida legislature? And it's sort of like a little add-on in the language here of the constitutional amendment.
Does it describe how the funding occurs for those same charter schools if the legislature is the one who authorizes them?
Yeah, here is from the actual suit from the League of Women Voters. Okay. It says, the ballot title and summary fail to inform voters that the effect of the elimination of the exclusive authority of local school boards over public schools would be to enable the Florida legislature or some other entity, not necessarily the state, to bestow upon any person or entity, public or private, the authority to create, operate, control, and supervise certain unspecified, newly created public schools.
Oh. But what about the funding? How those schools are going to be supported is what we need to know.
Well, you would certainly have a combination, I would assume. Again, it doesn't get into the specificity of who pays for what. That's
well,
what
I
it
can't,
boils
I
down
can't
to
imagine
here.
That the legislation would, as long as it doesn't obligate the school board to provide resources to those charter schools that are authorized by either the legislature or some other governing body to be created, to be designated to manage charter schools, as long as it has no implications on the resources that we bring to bear. And I would hope that it would also not have any implications on what are statewide resources that are provided to local school boards either. Right. We have seen school boards, charter schools here in Leon County, most specifically, close to $20 million has been allocated to them over the last 10, 12 years. Of those charter schools that have been funded, half of them are now no longer even in existence. And some of them are on their last breath now because we've made this through this public-private partnership, right? We don't have those schools are failing. The ones that I think of that have done well,
Arts and Sciences
has done well, right? But then we are concerned about with the remaining charter schools or the diversity of those charter schools. It's almost as if charter schools, for some, not all, are a method by which we resegregate our schools.
Well,
right.
I must say that I worked at Governor's Charter Academy for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And during the time that I worked there, I worked grades 4 through 8, exception student education. And my students are excelling. And I really think it's very important that when we talk about charter schools, we look at the children that attend the charter schools. And I know there's a lot of discussion regarding resegregation and the such. But in the statement that you made regarding should the district be in charge of making that decision regarding charter schools? Yes. I don't think we need to place that decision with the legislature.
Okay, and that is what seems to be incorporated into the language of the amendment.
Amendment 8,
which would remove the authorizing authority, which is also the power to deny from the local school district, and would either give it to the legislature or a new entity, not necessarily the legislature, decision. Mr. Williams,
I'm going to tell you, I really am against that because right now there are no charter schools in District 3. If the right now, if the legislations took over it, I feel like all of the charter schools will not be in District 3. The population that District 3 serves, that was the original intention. for charter schools. So the language with the charter schools have been manipulated until to the point to where they're actually private schools that take state dollars. So we're at a position where if we all don't recognize that, you know, the charter schools are the ones that are lowering our capacity in our District 3 schools mm-hmm. and staying strong together, and that's really why we three opponents are somewhat lined up together, because we understand really what's going on now. My platform is accountability and awareness, and all of us are aware what's at stake with our Title I schools right now,
that's right.
particularly
mm-hmm.
District 3. So we know that there needs to be a fighter. All of us are fighters. So we're going to continuously stick with our local districts being the ones that would like to navigate opportunities for charter schools, because if the legislation comes in, they assign charter schools to Northside schools, we will continuously lose students in Southern Leon County District 3.
Okay, Dr. Donna.
And I agree with what they're saying is that we should not be giving over that control. First of all, we don't know where the funding is coming from, and I'm very concerned, just as Mr. Jones stated, about, I mean, we're already crippled with them taking
Amen.
Our dollars. And the other thing is that there is no statistics that are showing the how charter schools are positively impacting the African-American or the people of color. We don't have any statistics where that is strong enough for us to even consider participating in that. Because most of the times, as Mr. Williams said, is that the charter schools are not going over to the South Side, where perhaps they could be good for us if, you know, as Ms. Jones said. But I am just not, I'm totally against them having that kind of control. I think we need to keep the control where we are. And the other point I have to say about charter schools, as a public school advocate, is that what I want to see is I want to see our public schools coming up to a point of where we don't have to have conversations about charter schools. And I know that, yes, the District 3 schools at this point in time, they're struggling. But I do know that we have educators, we have parents, we have students, that if we put our resources together, that we can make a positive difference in the lives of those children.
That's right.
Those children are no different than the children that are on the other side of town. The difference is how those students on the South Side are being taken care of. And we're going to make a change in that.
Okay. And Maggie Lewis Butler, that would be one less a bit of authority that local school boards would have if this passes.
Yes, it would be. Right now, we have a staff person hired for looking over the charter schools. So that's fun. That's money coming out the budget. But it's worth it because of the fact that if we didn't have the staff person overseeing these charter schools, then we would lose more funds. We're losing resources now because when charter schools are developed, the South Side lose funds. And everything we know is budget-driven. Now, one thing we do know about charter schools, they're mandated by the state, but we voted no. As you know, this board voted no because we know what it can do, and we know how many schools we had to close, and we know how much funding was lost, how much resources that we cannot accommodate our schools because of charter schools. So this is a grave concern for District 3 by charter schools. We do not want charter schools in our district because of the funding, because of the resources. And we do have a staff person hired, and that's funds. They have a overseer of the charter schools and report back monthly to the board the process of the charter school.
Well, while we're talking to you, one other thing, though, and we can go around on this as well. Like it or not, there are two elementary schools within District 3 that are in danger of being charterized right now
exactly.
because of what has happened with the
right.
With the grading thing. And again, as a sitting school board member, you know, what do you do about that? This is going to happen unless you can turn around.
Before. This is not the first time. We just like go up and down. This has happened before. What we always do when something happens like this, for low-performing, low-scoring schools, we put a team together. We have a team together, and the team are experts from the district staff level. They go monthly into the school. They monitor the improvement plan. They monitor all the administration, the staff, and the children. The whole school is monitored daily. We have a weekly report, and they report back to the school board member twice a month, the findings of what's going on at the school, how you upgrading the school, what the accomplishment is. It's more monitoring going on. And the team of experts go into the school to make very sure change is taking place. We have a paradigm there, and it's working. And it works before, and it'll work again. And also, the superintendent recommend a time limit on administration at these schools. We have some good, fine administrators in District 3, and the teachers work so hard in District 3. But what happened is, we have to make very sure that the criteria for a curriculum is being met. We have to make very sure attendance is being met. So when you get a low score on grades, it's not all academics. It's dealing with attendance as well. These are families where they're working two and three jobs, the parents are. And some of them even have babysitters. They have children within the families doing the babysitting for the children. So we're looking we're getting mental counseling, you know, that was approved. Now that we have more councils, these councils can work with the children. They can work with the parents. They can work with the teachers. They can work with the community and bring the results back to why little Johnny is wet, hungry, and not attending school.
Okay, let's go around again. Mr. Williams, again, we'll start with you, and then we'll make the rounds here.
What was the question?
This was the, you have two elementary schools within District 3 right now that are, because of the grades, in danger of being actually taken over by charter management companies. It will be removed from the school district, yes, and put under a charter management system. Yes. And, I mean, you can let that happen, or you can intervene to stop it. What do you think?
Okay, I'm going to say, first of all, the term of we're in a state of emergency, this didn't just start. For those of us who have been involved with Leon County Schools, which I have been an advocate for since 2003, we've had struggling schools in Southern Leon County before this year. Matter of fact, the retention rates, if you look at the retention rates from 2016 and 2017, you will see that at Bond Elementary School in the year of 16-17, they had 52 retentions. At Pineview Elementary School, they had 16 retentions. They have low parental involvement at those schools. They have low community support at those schools. Pineview Elementary, Oak Ridge Elementary, they are in dire needs of community support. And I was praying that with our three candidates besides myself, that at the end of this election period, we all can join forces to start providing more of these resources. So we're not just at a point where we're just now recognizing that our schools are in trouble. They have been in trouble for a little bit. We had Hartsfield Elementary under that same bracket last year. They came from up under the umbrella of potentially being taken over by the state, because the state, the school district, everybody joined forces to try to provide what was best for Hartsfield Elementary School. And by doing that, that school came from up under the umbrella of the 7069 Bill Watch. So if we concentrate and focus on the few schools that we do have in Southern Leon County, we can make a difference. Because currently, 16-17 school year, we had 141 retentions in our elementary schools. We had 107 retentions in our middle schools. And between Godby High School and Rutgers High School, and I mentioned Godby because we have a third of our students attend Godby, and Success Academy because we also send students to Success Academy, 231 retentions. So in all, in our Title I schools, 479 students were retained in the 2016-2017 school year. So this is not something new. We need to wake up. We need to pay attention and do something about it. And that's why I'm running today.
Dr. Donna Hayes-Austin.
Listening to all the statistics and knowing that this has been a concern for some while, for a long period of time, is very alarming to me, because I am a product of the South Side, and education is very serious to me. And for me to hear that we are vacillating up and down with our performance is a great concern. And it tells me that the kinds of things that need to happen in those classrooms, not because of the teachers, but because of the head leadership, we are not performing like we need to. Now, for the two schools that are in danger, what I've done in the past when we had a school that was in danger in another district, what we did was the people were coming over and they said it was going to take over. But what they asked us to do is to provide them with what is it that you need in order for you to be successful. So what we did was we provided them with all the things that we need. We changed our curriculum. We made sure that we were actually identifying the needs of the students. I think one of the biggest concerns that we have in District 3 is that we don't really know the children that are sitting in the seats. I was talking to a teacher yesterday, and she was telling me about it. I said, how do you know who that child is that's sitting in your classroom? And she says, well, we do this diagnostic test, and we do this test, and we do this test. And then what we have to do is we have to map it out on paper and all of that. We're in 2018, and there are so many other ways to get some efficient and some effective data so that we can make sure that we're providing the services for these children. They're even saying that the children are going to special areas, and in the special areas that there's no accountability for those teachers, and that those teachers are not actually teaching the curriculum in the way that it should. And one of the things that really concerns me is that the special areas, according to this teacher, is that they do not integrate the science and the math and the science and the math in the curriculum. So that's a problem for those special areas. We need to take every opportunity, even in the cafeteria, during a time in the cafeteria when our students were struggling, during the time that they're in the cafeteria, we were showing math on the screen in the cafeteria. And we were standing up there, adults, counselors and everybody, and we were in there tutoring at that time, because you have to take every precious moment that we have those children on our campus. We got to make sure that we are making sure that they are learning and make every moment a teachable moment. Folks, and we can turn our school around.
I'll tell you what we can do here. Let's continue this conversation here on the other side. We're going to terminate here our radio and TV portion, but then we will continue on Facebook Live. So we have Ms. Lynn Jones and Daryl Jones an opportunity to talk about what's going on here with those two specific schools in District 3, but also give everyone a chance to jump back in with, again, making the best point they possibly can on why they are the pick for the school board representative from District 3 here in Leon County. So we say a temporary goodbye to Charles Antonio Williams, Lynn Jones, Maggie Lewis Butler, Dr. Donna Hayes Austin, and Daryl Jones here on Perspectives. Perspectives produced by WFSU in Tallahassee. We had Evan Rossi and Lia Del Rawls handling all the technical stuff on the other side of the glass today. And for our crew for today, for 4FSU, Houston Brannon, Suzanne Smith, Brandy Staney, Robbie Gaffney, Christian Somersill, Carly Soter, and Kadesha Eliason. Facebook Live and WFSU.org, provided by Tricia Moynihan, and I'm Tom Flanagan. We're coming up on Monday for the next school board, District 5. We'll see you then.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.